So our gospel today has a little backstory. Our gospel story picks up with James and John saying, Jesus, we want you to do us a favor. Right before that, Jesus had just said to his disciples, we're going up to Jerusalem. And when we are there, I will be turned over to the hand of sinful people. They will mock me. They will spit on me. They will beat me. They will whip me. They will crucify me to death. And on the third day, I will rise. And in the very next breath, James and John say, oh, Jesus, we want you to do something for us. Okay, what, fellas? When you come into your glory, we want to sit at your right hand and at your left. The very next words. And after all, what good is it being in on the inside track in the ground floor unless you're going to get some kind of personal gain out of it, right? And apparently, they had not read ahead to the end of the book where it says, and as Jesus was raised up, crucified there with him, were two criminals. One of them was right, and one of them was left. Could it be these two clowns did not hear everything Jesus said? Could it be that they had selective hearing, they just heard what they wanted to hear? Good thing we don't do that, huh? So Jesus goes on and says, fellas, you have no idea what you're asking for. So can you endure what I have to endure? Can you suffer the baptism I have to suffer? Can you drink this cup? So, oh, yep, sure we can. Sure we can. And Jesus, we know what we want, and we know you can deliver. Oh, yo, we can do it all. Because we want to be cold big shots with you. Now, in truth, we can't come down too hard on these guys. Because of the way they understood God working. I mean, remember, for God's people, the Jews, God's promise had come to them historically in terms of real estates. Way back in Genesis, God makes a promise to Abraham, I will make you a great and mighty nation. You will have more stuff out of eighth graders, seventh graders, tenth graders, work with me. You will have more descendants than there are. Okay. You will have more descendants than there are stars in the sky and grains of sand on the seashore. You will have this promised land. I will give to you the land of Canaan, which meant God's promise came true in terms of Israel, Jerusalem, a capital, a temple, a king. So when these two heard Jesus talk about kingdom, they said, oh, I know what that is. It's Promised Land 3.0. It's just the next version. And Jesus is going to be the new David and all that. Their assumptions, their certainty about what Jesus meant left them unable to hear anything else. So Jesus tries to make it clear again. He repeats what he said just in the last chapter, probably just a few days before. He said, look, whoever wants to be greater among you must be your servant. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. Now we might hear that and think, huh, ransom. What do we ransom? Well, people were held hostage. And that can't be me, because I'm not held hostage. Let me check my email first. See what's on my schedule. I can't get the calendar to come up with it full, but I know I got something. Oh, there's the mortgage. Now, why is it I run out of weight before I run out of money? And I run out of weight before I run out of work? Oh, that is the stuff I feel guilty about. The stupid things I did. There's ways I keep hoping that I have enough that will make me happy. But it doesn't work. But I'm not a hostage. I'm not a hostage. Because I'm not really being held captive. except for the ways that I keep confusing myself with God. The ways I keep thinking I don't really want the God messing around in my life makes, because everything is working real well the way I have it. But I'm not being held hostage. It never occurred to James and John that the kingdom could be anything else than a nation with a king and a capital and everything else he had hoped for. It's the only thing they hoped for, so it's the only thing they could see. And it might never occur to us that we are being held hostage. And in truth, we don't really need anybody to hold us hostage because we beat them to it. We do a really good job all on our own. You know how it is. We devote our lives to building our own kingdoms. And when we do, why would we want the kingdom of God? Because I got it all already. So we pile up our possessions and stuff and our assumptions and our certainty into walls around us, and we're convinced that they will keep us safe and secure, make us happy, and it works for a while. Until it doesn't. And sometimes the walls of our own kingdoms fall down, leaving us vulnerable. Sometimes the walls of our kingdom fall down on us. Sometimes it feels like it falls apart and all the king's horses and men can't put us together again. And sometimes we find out the walls of our little kingdoms we have built have served primarily not to keep us safe, but to keep us isolated. Lonely. It suggests we need to feel it. We need to feel how our attempts to be in control, to take control, to make our own kingdoms have failed and how they have failed us. We need to feel the futility of it all before we are willing to consider a different way. We need to discover that our own kingdoms do not bring us life. In fact, they keep us out of God's kingdom. So this Jesus shows us God's way is different. He shows us that power, the stuff, the status, the position, our own kingdoms, they don't matter. Because they don't last. They don't give life. They take it. They take life, and the things we hold, we find actually hold us. Jesus brings us into a new way, a different way. He calls the kingdom of God, where power and wealth is not measured in what we get and what we keep, but in what we share. It's measured in the power of forgiveness and generosity. Because power is not forcing our will or desire on somebody else. That's compliance. That does not give life to you that takes it away. Real power. Real greatness. The power of the kingdom of God is something we feel when we get to walk with the least and the last and the lost. The kingdom of God comes to us when we feed the hungry, when we welcome strangers, when we collect coats for children, when we fill those tubs out there with food and stacks of get this ministry through toilet paper. It's a moment of charity. The kingdom of God touches us when we help a neighbor who needs a hand. That is power because nobody can take it away from us. A stock market that plunges does not remove its value. It is a value of love and compassion and mercy. So Jesus says, I gave my life as a ransom. Let me buy it. Let me buy you back from all the ways it's wrong. From all the ways it feels like someone or something else has control over you. Buy you back from the way that we lose our way and our stuff and our private priorities. The way in which it's so easy to suffocate ourselves, piling more things into and onto our lives. Let me buy you back from sin, from death, from ourselves. And Jesus says, follow me. Love God by loving others. Don't worry so much about following a list of rules because
bringing you real power, real greatness, the power of the kingdom, power the world cannot take from you. It's power to create new life, the power to heal, to love, to live new. As Jesus said, I am not alone. I am not alone when the most precious parts of your lives are gone. The things we trust in, the people we love, the certainty, the predictability we had. When it doesn't give us what we want, what we hope, what we need, you're not alone. I am with you. So come, be baptized with me, die with me, and live with me. Drink this cup with me, and I will set you free. I will live in you, and you will live in me. For no matter where you go, I will be there with you. I did not come to be served, I came to serve. And to give my life to you. It's an answer. To buy it back. There is nothing you can do to make me stop loving. So live. Serve. Love. That's how I started with you. Feel what real greatness is. Real power. I'll make it more than words. If Jesus sets us free, but as we know, freedom, if we don't use it, we may as well not be. To live in this freedom, Jesus says, follow me. Walk, serve with the least, the last, and the lost. Because remember, it says, that's how I started with you. That's what brought me.